You're in the loop. We're here to discuss the ups, downs, and sideways of the sport of figure skating and maybe give you +5 GOE along the way. Let's introduce this week's hosts.
Hi, I'm Yogita, and I barely got any sleep this weekend because time zones. My Twitter handle is @liliorum.
Hi, I'm Bex. I'm killed over New Leaf, but I don't have to worry about surviving Japanese competitions for a whole nother month. My Twitter handle is Bexfer.
Hi, I'm Kat, and I cannot believe that the Grand Prix series is over already. Find me on Twitter at KatTweets. Alright, so, the Grand Prix series is over, guys, and we survived, guys!
In my mind, it's not over until Grand Prix Final, but...
Well, no, true, but we've gone through the really grueling portion of it, and we get a break for a week, which is all that matters.
I know, it just felt... Oh my god, I just feel, like, so exhausted for some reason, even, like, after all of this.
Because you haven't been sleeping!
We went to 2 Grand Prix, and then all the next 4 were not in our time zone. Like, I just realized that, and what were we thinking?
I know. My sleep schedule has been so weird. Oh my god.
This is why I slept through a cup of China.
Yeah, that was a smart move.
We can't all love ourselves, Yogita.
We should probably mention that this is our recap of Rustelecom and NHK, the last 2 Grand Prix before the Grand Prix Final, which is coming up in 2 weeks in Torino. So, I guess let's just get started with the pairs. We have our winners of the pairs in Rustelecom. Alexandra Boykova and Dmitry Kozlovsky, Evgenia Tarasova, Vladimir Morozov, and Minerva Fabian Hasse and Nolan Siegert from Germany. And the winners of NHK trophy pairs were, of course, my loves, Sui Wenxin and Han Cong from China. And then Kirsten Moore Towers, Michael Marinaro from Canada got silver. And third place was Anastasia Mishina and Alexander Galiamov from Russia.
Pairs, this Grand Prix series is just kind of like a wild, chaotic, unexpected mess. Like, it's just...
It's so weird, this entire Grand Prix.
Pairs is rough.
It's like unpredictable in some ways as for the winners, but for everything else, it's just kind of been like a muddled everyone trying to really cement themselves and... get like a lead in the general pack.
I just think that it's always interesting to see which teams end up capitalizing on the momentum and which teams end up faltering, because like if we're gonna start getting into it, like if we're gonna talk about teams capitalizing, Boykova and Kozlovsky really saw that door open with Zabiako and Ember out and were like, hello, we are here. They really capitalized at Rustelecom, and they skated really lights out. Like, they were almost foot perfect in both programs. They're the only team this season besides Sui and Han to score over 80 in the short program. And they just in general look so polished and confident in everything.
And their 2 programs also worked so well with them. I remember last season, I liked them as skaters, but I wasn't really into them because I didn't like their programs as much. But this season, like, they have the complete package.
Last year, okay, I watched them, like, we saw them at Skate Canada, and I was so impressed by their elements and their quality and their lines. But I was like, their program is just, like, very kind of, like, good, bland Russian pairs.
It's
like,
Russian. Very Russian.
It's good, but it's not really interesting. But I'm a sucker for, like, a good Bond free skate. Like, I know there's, like, a few issues with being maybe, like, you know, you could, like, argue that the music cuts aren't the best or something. But, like, oh my god, like, they execute it so well and get so into it. And they both perform the hell out of it.
It's, like, the good kind of drama that, like, really allows them to bring out their personality, right? And, like, I love the Spectre soundtrack. But, like, in general, I think that this free skate really is, this is really doing it for them, I think.
It also really highlights all their great elements, like all the placements of their jumps. Boykova is stunning per usual, but like she makes every moment of this program count.
Yeah, and I love how enamored everyone is with them. They're just like really cute, dramatic kids. Like, come on, Dima's reaction at the end of their free skate in Russia, like on the ice, he was just kind of like fist pumping in the air, and she was like, okay, dude, like, what? Like, she was, like, cringing.
I love their dynamic.
And then, like, in the kiss and cry, he starts, like, standing up and waving to everyone before their scores even come out. And then she's, like, pulling him down, like, dude, sit down. Their scores aren't even out. Dude, calm down.
We love that confidence, though. But, yeah, they're so, like, for what a young pair they are, they're so polished and so refined. Like, they perform every moment. And it's just great to see, like, even their growth. Like, they skated well at Skate Canada when we saw them. But here, they just completely, like, brought down the house. It was incredible.
Yes. And yeah, I'm just really impressed by their grit. There are some elements that, like, she definitely fought on some of the throw landings, but still her running edge, keeping her leg up. Her running edge is so beautiful. And even, like, on the side-by-side jumps there, I did not think that he was going to be able to complete the combo, like the triple toe, double toe, double toe, because his axis was so off during the triple toe, and he still managed to tack those double toes on. So yeah, just so, so impressed by them. And just, I think that once we talk about Bojkova and Kozlowski and their insane, I don't even know if you would call it rise, like, yes, rise in, like, the standings, but in, like, in their performance, but, like, definitely, like, just overall perception. I think that now the Russian Federation has fully backed them, because if we go on to a little bit more of a sadder topic of how Tarasova Morozov did, which was really weird that Resfed decided to put Bojkova and Kozlowski against Tarasova Morozov in both of their Grand Prix this season. I don't know how smart of a move that was.
It wasn't that smart, but the Russian Fed loves to do, like, they're really passive. Like, that's their entire theme this Grand Prix series, is
right,
passive aggressive matchups between, like, the young blood and the old blood, and was like, oh, we'll throw you to the wolves and you can battle it out.
Right. And so Tarasova and Morozov definitely were not as much of a hot disaster here as they were at Skate Canada, which was really sad because we saw them skate live there.
They didn't abort lifts. I was just happy. Like, they, I actually got to see their lifts this time, and they were beautiful, and they're so hard. Like, the balance on those is insane.
Like, they even lost in PCS.
That's what was really surprising.
Yeah, so that having them skate better here and still losing out, like, they honestly performed, like, at, like, a decent, adequate level. Like, it's obviously not the best we've ever seen from them, but given how much they've been struggling, I was more just happy that they were standing at the end and, like, looked generally okay.
Yeah, I mean, their main issues were just their side-by-side jumps.
Right.
And a few other small things, but they performed pretty well and they executed a lot of the elements with a lot of quality. It's just, in comparison, they didn't perform quite as well, and some of their tech isn't quite as strong at the moment.
It's really heartbreaking for me because honestly, I think their free skate is probably my favorite program of theirs. And to see that they've been struggling so much, did we sacrifice, like, a good program for not as strong elements? But they did make the coaching change and they're relearning a lot. So I'm hoping that this is just a temporary, like, issues that they're having as they're, like, relearning and learning how to work with their new coaching team. And I'm really hope that, like, they take these next few weeks to figure something out so they can make a really strong case at Russian Nationals for themselves.
Yeah, I think that's, for some teams, missing out on the Grand Prix final is more of a blessing just because you get that extra time to prepare for Nationals, which is where matchups and politicking and momentum really become important, I think, especially within domestic rivalries.
Especially with Russia, because they have the deepest pair field by far in the world.
Exactly. So, like, it might be a little bit of a blessing in disguise, just because, like, I'm sure they're obviously shocked that they didn't even make the Grand Prix final with Zabiako and Embert sitting out, who were probably one of their major domestic rivals last season. It'll really be interesting to see, but it is really sad, and I hope that this is just kind of like a short stumbling block while they're making some transitional moves. So, but also at Cup of Russia, we had the premiere of Ksenia Stolbova and Andrei Novzalov. I was really curious to see, because it's been a hot minute since we've seen Stolbova compete, and I was pretty impressed in their short program. Like, they had a lot of kinks that needed to be worked out with them, but, like, she is still one of the best pair girls ever. Like, her skating skills are still top-notch. She can still land those throws, and her death spirals look amazing. But, oh boy, that that free skate was rough. He especially, Andre, probably a little strength training is needed. Maybe putting two lifts right at the end of the program was not the smartest move for them, because they got base value on one and then completely aborted the last one. Like, this is still their first outing, so like, there's obviously a lot of room to grow, and maybe whip them into shape. I know she can do it.
We have faith in her.
I trust Pairs ladies to do anything, so.
Shall we talk a little bit about NHK?
Yes. NHK Pairs. What do we want to talk about first?
Kat, this is your chance. Gush a little bit.
Gush about Soyeon.
If you insist. Okay, so Soyeon, we have a world record in the short program.
Woo!
It was almost perfect, except for Ellen messing up the spin.
Poor Ellen.
Which they got a level 2 on. But if there's anything that I trust with Sway and Han, it is them nitpicking every single detail and improving it for the next time. Because, like, that is what they do so well. Like, in the last competition, they got a level down on their death spiral, and they got, like, a level 3 and a V on their spins. So then they worked on them. They're level 4s this time. Well, except for in the free skate, the death spiral level went down again.
I was really impressed by how much more polished this looked versus Cup of China, especially given how sick Wen Jing was. Like, given that she was, like, horrifically ill for a week and couldn't train at all, and they still looked this much better. It's incredible how fast they can improve a program.
And so that's why I am definitely not so worried as much as on the fluke fall on the triple toe, because she said that she was holding back a little bit because her stamina was not up, but she was, like, afraid that she wouldn't be able to make it through the free skate. I have no issues, like, with the triple toe. Like, it will probably be fine, given that it hopefully she'll be injury and illness free for the next 2 weeks. But, like, her triple sal, guys, did we really just see Wen Jing land 2 triple sals in competition in a row?
I know!
I can't believe it!
My shock, especially after the 3T issue, like, oh!
Which is amazing, because, like, yeah, obviously anyone who's been watching them for this long knows that this is, like, her demon jump, but, like, I'm so glad that the sal is improving, and I'm so happy that their pair spin is a level 4 now, too. Like I said, they always pick things to work on, and, you know, they always make the improvements that they need to make. So I am not so worried about them. In general, I think that this is, like, the best condition I think I've seen them in a really long time. And, you know, they've always had these struggles with injury, so I'm hoping that they, you know, just keep staying healthy and just keep working consistently, not taking any big risks right now. If they maintain the condition that they're at, they should be at the top of the podium no matter what competition as of now.
So moving on, we have a new favorite pair that we've adopted from NHK.
I'm so excited!
I'm so excited to talk about them.
This is me and Dex's time to talk about pairs.
Yes, this is where we get to, like, really go off. But yes, Rika Miura and Yuichi Kihara debuted, and oh my god, guys, they are so charming.
They're so great. I love them.
They are so, so cute. Oh my god, they win for kiss and cry reactions, though.
Her unbridled joy in the way they just freaked out. Like, they freaked out in the short, but then also when they realized that they got the minimum TES for Worlds, like...
But yeah, they've literally only been together since, like, the summer, because Riku and her previous partner, Shoya Ichihashi, split at the end of July, or at least that's when they announced their split, so there's no way they've been skating for more than, like, 4 or 5 months. So, like, this is an extremely fast turnaround for them, and, like, their elements look great. Like, the twist is the one thing that needs, like, a little bit more work, but, like, the fact that they can land side-by-side jump.
They landed all their side-by-sides. I can't believe it.
And she has a throw triple up.
Their tech potential is really good if they can go with their twist and shape and work a little bit on the complexity of the lifts. Like, ugh.
Yeah, and honestly just encourages me that, like, JSF is willing to put forward some funding to allow them to train overseas, because they're being trained in Canada by Bruno Marcotte and Megan Duhamel. So that gives me a little bit more hope that JSF is like, oh, maybe we should actually invest in non-singles disciplines.
The fact that between, like, them having such a strong debut at home, which has got to be great for their confidence, but also the fact that the JSF and their new team, and they basically have so much potential along with Utashin, like Utane and Shingo in ice dance, who were also only together for a few months and did so well. Like, this is just so, it's so novel to be excited about non-singles disciplines in Japan.
I know.
But it's so great. Like, this is what we've been, like, hoping for years, because Japan has so many talented skaters and then they just don't develop their other disciplines. So, yes.
I'm also just really happy they had such a great debut at NHK. We all know, like, Japan, when Japan hosts the competition, people show up. And, like, even for pairs, like, the audience was pretty packed. So, like, people got to see them and got to know them. So I'm hoping that they'll get a lot of Japanese support. And also they'll be able to encourage, like, other skaters that, like, hey, these other disciplines exist too. That's not just singles.
I really hope that this is, like, the start of just overall seeing a little bit more interest and coverage in their non-singles. Because Japan is filled to the brim with talented skaters. And to see them all just, like, you know, bottlenecking in the singles is just, like, there's so much, I feel like there's so much wasted talent, wasted potential.
So many amazing skaters with great skating skills just doing, like, singles when you could be putting those skating skills to work in dance.
It's really, really promising. I just really hope they stay together, because pairs and Japanese pairs do not, but they seem like they have a really good relationship. Like, they look so solid and in sync for only having just gotten together.
And they look so happy together.
But Riku is also a Swain Han stan, and so she is a girl after my heart, and she has good role models, and she knows what good pair skating looks like. So if she's aspiring to that level, then I have, like, a lot of faith in her motivation and in, like, their ability to grow. And also with that short bob cut, like she looks like a baby Wen Jing, just like when she's just skating around the rink with her little bob flying. It's literally the exact same hairstyle. I'm so charmed.
Really, really excited to see them at, you know, Four Continents and at Worlds. So fingers crossed, can't wait to see what their improvement looks like in another couple months. All right, and now we should move on to looking to the Grand Prix final.
Oh boy.
We have qualified with 30 points. Wen Jing Sui and Song Han from China, Alexandra Boykova and Dmitry Kovalevsky from Russia with also 30 points, Chen Peng and Yang Jin from China with 28 points, Anastasia Mishina and Alexander Galiamov with 26 points, Christian Moore Towers and Michael Marinar from Canada with 26 points, and Daria Pavlochenko and Denis Kodikin with 26 points.
This is a very, very interesting field, considering the only pairs that are returning from last year's Grand Prix final are Peng and Jin and Pavlyuchenko and Kodikin. And, you know, the front runners for this Grand Prix final are very, very different from last year's as well. I think that no one is shocked that Sui and Han are the favorites to win. Yeah, they've been to the Grand Prix final 3 times prior, but they still have yet to win their first gold. So please let me have this.
May this be the year that they actually win.
I would be, like, shocked if they didn't. Like, honestly, I have literally no doubts that they will pull this off.
Well, we'll see, because Boykov and Kozlovsky are the only team right now that have comparable scores, and they have been consistent. Like, I think that their consistency is what's giving them their momentum this season so far, because they have looked really solid and they have great programs. And so their scoring potential is pretty high. I will say that since their second Grand Prix was in Russia, there is definitely the chance that their scores were a bit inflated. So we'll see if that they're able to make comparable scores with similar skates at Grand Prix final.
Yeah, it'll definitely be interesting. But basically, in terms of who could do bronze, like, it's definitely between both of these teams for gold and silver. But in terms of bronze, it's literally like shrug emoji.
Here's everybody else.
Any of these teams could do it. They all have really comparable scoring potential. Most of them have been really consistent. So, yeah.
I mean, obviously, we weren't expecting Tarasova Morozov not making it. So that was a shock. And that's also probably what's kind of putting more of the results up in the air, too. Because they'd be fighting for gold.
It'll be interesting to see, too, how all the different Russian teams pair off. I think Mishima and Galiamov, you know, they have the advantage. They've beat Pavlyuchenko and Kodikin before.
They definitely have an edge because of their tech, because they're very, very consistent, and they have that amazing triple sal Euler triple sal that has looked incredible. So it's just a matter of how everyone performs on the day, honestly.
Which is a lot of the field here.
I am very interested to see how Peng and Jin do. Like, in my heart, like, I would love for them to get bronze because they were silver, like a surprise silver medalist last year. But their side-by-side jumps are always a huge question mark. And I have no idea what was going on with her ankle. Like, I have not heard any updates about it since Cup of China. Like, they looked okay at Cup of China. It didn't seem like her injury was too aggravated, if it's still bothering her. So, you know, I'm just curious to see, because now they've had like 3 to 4 weeks to prepare for Grand Prix Final. They've known that they were going to Grand Prix Final for a while, so.
Yeah, other than like Pavlyuchenko and Kotikin, they've had the most time in between their Grand Prix than anyone before Grand Prix Final. So hopefully in better shape and have had a little more time to really work on matters, because they were set back a lot by her ankle injury. But we'll see. It's pretty much just dependent on whoever performs best, because as long as you're clean and you really perform the hell out of it and fight for it, basically anyone could get it.
I think that like Kirsten and Michael, like getting second at both of their Grand Prix, I don't even know if they were expecting that, to be honest. Like, they actually had some pretty tough fields to go up against, and they did pretty well. And with identical total scores, which is freaking hilarious.
Literally, what kind of witchcraft? If you look at the scores too, like if they stacked up against most of these, like those are consistent enough scores to potentially beat people. So
it'll be really hilarious if they get that same score also Grand Prix Final.
That's just their official score for the season. We accept nothing else.
On to the men. Well, at Rostelecom, we had Alexander Samarin in gold, Dmitry Aliyev, also of Russia, with silver, and Makar Ignatov, also of Russia, in bronze. At NHK Trophy, we had Yuzi Ruhanyu in gold, Kevin Amos of France in silver, and Roman Sadovsky of Canada in bronze.
Chaos reigns supreme in the men this season.
Well, this chaos is just reigning supreme everywhere.
Seriously, the sheer amount of like medalists in each event who did very well who are not making the final. Although Boyang did sneak in, so good for him.
That is probably the most wild development, I think, of the season, is Boyang suddenly sneaking in.
Yes, but we'll get to that later. But like, seriously, like, it's because the field right now is just so clearly like Yuzu and Nathan,
and then everybody else
battling it out and having like nervy meltdowns, and then like someone doing like really unexpectedly well.
Although I'm gonna be honest, if I had to pick between the field being chaos or Yuzu being chaos, I would definitely pick the field. Like, I think I've had enough Yuzu chaos. Like,
yeah, the fact that Yuzu is like a chill, predictable one, other than some like unexpected, you know, last minute layout changes, it's good. It's good. I'll take it.
It's always good to have like a level of unexpectedness.
I really like it because it's made men really exciting this year, because you really have no idea what's going to happen. At the same time, I kind of miss when we had like, you know,
men who could land jumps consistently.
I miss last year's Grand Prix Final when it was not like who's going to get bronze or who's going to get silver, but it was literally like, you know, who's going to win, because we have no idea. So it's, but you know, this is good potential, because if they keep, if there's so much competition at the lower levels, like it'll really push everyone to improve. So it's good. We're just in kind of a weird limbo where there's just a big gap between parts of the field and the rest, but it's still really exciting.
Yeah, pretty large gap there.
All right. So I think one thing that was really fun about these events is we had utterly surprised bronze medalists, with Roman and Makar just coming out of nowhere and taking their opportunity.
So I was on vacation when Russian test gates happened. And so I remember when I sneaked into the chat during my vacation and seeing everyone yell about this Russian test gates boy, I had no idea who this person was. Until I watched Rostelecom.
Yeah, because I vaguely remember him from, like, prior, you know, from, like, juniors. But then he was off for, like, a season just because of injury. So the fact that he came back this strong and was just showed up is... I always love to see someone just really take, like, a window of opportunity and just absolutely go for it and be like, listen, I'm here.
Because if there's anything, like, the men's field is chaos right now for sure, but none more so than the Russian men right now.
Oh, Russian men.
Like, it's chaotic, but they've been, like, last year was really depressing.
Right, because no one was doing well.
No, Dima was injured, Misha was injured. I mean, Misha hasn't really skated this year, but at least he's taking steps to fix that now, and recovering from a surgery.
And Samrin was inconsistent.
You know, Maxim, like, Klovtun won nationals and then had to retire because he was so injured. Like, it was just really depressing. So, like, granted, you know, I have issues with some of the Russian scoring and inflation and politicking, but it is nice to see the general, like, competition in the field rising really well and, like, it's a lot more interesting.
It was very interesting watching Makar because, like, again, this was more or less my first impression of watching him. And I got a lot of Steven Gogolev vibes, basically, from him. It's just, like, he is a real jumping machine. They're not the best, like, technique-wise, but he can get them done.
He's solid. He's really solid.
Yeah. He rotates really quickly in the air, which I think helps him a lot.
I gotta say, like, for a first impression, I remember being like, whoa. But definitely could use a lot more work in terms of, like, the programs and, like, the skating, overall skating. But I'm interested to see how he'll play in, though.
Like, his scoring at NHK, of course, he unfortunately didn't skate nearly as well at NHK, but his scoring at NHK made a lot more sense. His 80 PCS in the free versus, like, 72-ish at NHK.
Remember when he was leading the short program for so long at Rostelecom?
Oh my god, that was so bizarre.
I remember waking up to, like, go check in on men's for Rostelecom, and I was like, who's this person who's been leading the shorts since, like, a group ago?
Yeah, but it's always really great to see someone have, like, a really strong senior debut at home. Like, that I'm all here for.
And I think he was definitely, given that he was skating back-to-back at NHK, and he probably had it in his mind now, like, oh my god, I could have a chance of making the final. It's a possibility it got into his head a little bit, which is totally understandable, so I don't really fault him for that. But, you know, I think it's a pretty, for him, he should be really, really proud of how well he did this season so far.
Let's talk about our other surprise bronze medalist.
Yay, Roman!
Yay, Roman!
I might not like Roman's programs, but I really enjoy watching him skate.
Yeah, he's, like, a really pleasant skater to watch. Like, he has really nice skills and basics.
Yeah, he has great, like, ice coverage, really nice skating skills, and he has, like, the best spins.
Oh, his spins are so great. And honestly, like, when he lands his jumps, like, they look really nice and solid, and he gets nice flow out of them, so.
He does. He really does. He gets really into it when the jumps go well. Like, you know, like, it's always nice to see the program open up.
And we haven't seen him skate this well in a really long time.
I think the last time was maybe, like, Autumn Classic last season. I'm really excited for him because, like, Canadian Nationals isn't super deep, but, like, him versus Nam versus Keegan will be really interesting to watch there.
Yeah, I mean, given that they only have one spot for men at a home world, it's going to be, like, both, honestly, all the Canadian men. Keegan didn't quite perform as well as potentially he could have, but I mean, I have faith that, like, by Nationals, Keegan could show up and skate Skeller because he's capable of really great skating. So Canadian Nationals is going to be pretty exciting because the Canadian men have done, like, quite well this series so far. Even Nam, like, Nam did not, you know, podium at Rostelecom like we had maybe thought he might be able to, but he still skated really well. He was still really solid and he really performed. So I'm excited to see what Canadian Nationals look like, and hopefully they can all just put their best skates forward.
Some other highlight from Rostelecom. Man, Shoma.
God, like, Shoma at IDF was heartbreaking, and he really needed those 2 weeks with Stefan. This clearly is not the best that he has ever done, and nowhere lives up to his actual potential, but it's far and away, like, so much of an improvement over what he put out in France. It's not what the skate he wanted, but I'm happy he was able to, like, see that, like, he can still, like, perform.
Or I just hope that this inspires a, like, permanent movement, or at least, like, a wake-up call that he needs.
From his comments, like, post Rostelecom, he seemed to really indicate that, yeah, he really understood, like, the importance. Like, it clearly made such a difference with him to just have some sort of more present coach for even just the 2 weeks. That he seems really decisive that, oh, yeah, like, I can't sit out the rest of the season coachless, and I'm going to have to make a choice. And it sounds like Stefan will be with him at Nationals.
Yeah, he's going to be training with Stefan until Nationals. And then afterwards, I think they're going to make a decision of whether Shoma's going to stick with him for the long term.
At least it seems very, very clear to Shoma that he can't keep up this situation, and it was really bad for him. So hopefully he can get on track later. I'm a little worried just because, you know, Sota and Keiji, even although we had a rough outing at Cup of China, and even like Yuma Kageyama, like,
yeah, looking at the juniors,
have been doing great. So like, luckily Japan has 3 spots for Worlds, so it's not really a bloodbath like it was, you know, back 7 years ago.
But it is interesting to see the field open up a little bit in the Japanese men.
I'm excited because it used to be that Japan was like, well, like, Japanese nationals was super predictable, so hopefully he can get it together. I'm worried about his jumps. It seems a little bit mental and a little bit a combination of just kind of sloppiness and lack of proper training. I miss when Shoma was up in the equation with Yuzu and Nathan and like neck and neck versus like the fact that now like his scores have been so tragic.
That was just last season, Bex.
There's still, you know, 4 months before Worlds, so hopefully, I mean, Stefan wouldn't be my pick for a coach in terms of jumps.
I was just gonna say.
I think Stefan's gonna be a great coach to have just for, like, the mental aptitude, which I think Shoma needs.
Yeah, fingers crossed things work out in the trial and things will be better moving on. So we have Dima, who is still living this season. Bless. It's great not to be injured. I love a non-injured Dima. He's doing so much better.
I was real worried about him after last season.
He's remembering his axles. Also really important.
Yes, there are axles present. His jump math is still off. He needs to go to, like, the Yuzuru Hanyu School of YOLO layouts. I just need Yuzu to, like, hold a training seminar at everyone at Grand Prix. Not that he should or have the time, but, like, seriously, if he could just give a quick PowerPoint about how to quickly calculate jump layouts.
Maybe at the banquet, like, after it's over, he could, like, put together this presentation.
But yeah, I was just really happy for him that he made the podium and he is able to make the Grand Prix final this time around, so. And he looked so much better, too, than at Skate America. Skate America, he kind of had a rough skate.
I mean, in my opinion, like, I don't think he was lowballed on PCS, per se, but I think in comparison to Samarin, who beat him on PCS, I would say he was lowballed in contrast.
Or yeah.
I think his PCS are, like, roughly where they should be. It's just Samarin's were, like, you know, an easy 5 to 7 points higher than I would put them at. So, yeah, anyway, great. Really excited to see him in the final. So, yay! He survived.
A quick shout out to Dennis for, like, skating a backup short program in Russia.
He did well. I mean, it was really nice. Like, Dennis, you know, he's still a little frustrating in that his jumps are really not quite where one would hope. But, like, he performs so well. His performance skills, his spins are incredible. So, yeah, it was just great to see him have, like, you know, he's had two pretty, like, compared to last season, his Grand Prix have been much more solid, and he's placed really well. His I love cheese comment was, like, the funniest thing in the entire Rostelecom.
True highlight.
Hilarious.
He got a rat plushie and was just, I love cheese. And Stefan hates cheese, so it's even better, like, knowing that background. We love cheeky students.
Moving on to men at NHK, let's talk about the one and only Yuzuru Hanyu.
He survived!
He survived 2 competitions, injury-free!
Literally, I have spent the last 2 Grand Prix Yuzu has been assigned to almost, like, sobbing in bed in a dull haze because he was so injured. at each one.
3 years.
Guys, I think literally the entire mood, including, like, Yuzo and all his team, were just all so relieved that he's healthy and going to the Grand Prix final.
I was so happy that he was just in such good spirits, but, like, it was really, like, humanizing just to see how nervous he was here.
When he took his opening pose, he was trembling for Origin. He was trembling so badly, and my heart just dropped.
I saw he was trembling. I was like, I've never seen Hanyu be nervous like this.
Well, I've seen him be nervous, but I've never seen him, like, he almost was skittering across the ice out of his opening pose because he was shaking so hard.
And for him to still do so well under so much, like, with that kind of stress,
with that kind of pressure and anxiety. And, like, we all know, like, we love Yuzu, but he is so superstitious. So,
yeah.
Like, to confront these, like, this has really been the year where he has just been facing each demon head on and ripping it to shreds.
And he's been triumphing. It's like, it's been amazing to just watch him do this. He was so happy to be going to the Grand Prix final. Like,
it's been so long. And my lizard brain is still, like, worried about his training into the Grand Prix final or something dumb like that. But, like, honestly, like,
Yeah, no, like, hearing him in the kiss and cry with Brian and Chislaine, he's like, going to the finals! Like, he was so excited. It really feels like so long since we've seen him at the Grand Prix final. Like, the fact that he managed to make it through the Grand Prix intact, two working ankles, without any, like, illnesses.
And it's probably his best shape that he's been in for a while.
NHK was not quite... Like, Origin was not quite as good as Skate Canada, but given the nerves and all the pressure he was under, like, he did amazingly.
Yeah, and we definitely need to talk about, like, how quickly, like, we talked about how nervous he was, like, all of us were, but the fact that he was able to, like, improvise his layout, like, let's talk about this a little bit. He popped his planned second quad toe Euler triple flip into a double and then improvised a quad toe triple toe instead of his triple axel triple toe and then YOLO'd a triple axel Euler triple sal. Like, what even? Like, on the fly. That is insane.
Also, that triple axel Euler triple sal cow was probably his best axel combo that he's done all season, and I'm so blown away.
Judge for giving it a 0 GOE. Like, hello! Like, I was absolutely, like, on the floor over that. Hopefully in the next few weeks we can see, like, so far the quad loop is the jump that seems to be, like, the least stable of the ones that he's putting out so far.
We've seen a steady improvement across, like, his three competitions.
So far it's a little fickle, but it's looking better than it was early in the season. So, and then Kevin Amos made the Grand Prix final.
I'm so happy for him. Also, like, the panning away in from the Chris and Cry right as he realized he made Grand Prix final.
I know. That was so, so bad. I was like, go back.
I was like, I need that reaction because, like, he was just in such shock. Oh, his short program, like, he skated it really well here. His free was kind of rough and, like, he really had to fight for everything and the landings and axis of his jumps still terrify me, but, like, I am so impressed that he just does not sacrifice the program or the choreography or the transitions at all. Like, even if it would make probably his consistency much higher.
I'm so happy for him, though. It'll be so great to watch him at the final because he really deserved to be there.
And he's commented that Grand Prix final wasn't even one of his goals for this season. So the fact that he made it was so mind-blowing for him.
And then we finally got to see Sota!
Sota!
Sota Yamamoto! I'm never not going to be bitter because he really deserved 2 Grand Prix. Especially in, like, this field, especially given how much potential there was for, like, doing well, given how well he's done. But it was great to see him finally. I mean, we saw him at US Classic, but to see him in a Grand Prix and at home, skating with his idol too, Yuzu, so.
He didn't need to take as much inspiration from Yuzu this comp, though. Like, the quad toe pops.
He's usually much more solid on them, but I can understand being nervous here.
Yeah, I think it was just, like, I think the nerves got to him.
Yeah, in general, though, like, I really love his, like, range of motion, like, his upper body movements. especially during his choreo sequence and his step sequence. Like, he is so fast. I mean, he gets such great ice coverage. I could use a little bit more facial expression. It's very similar to the problem I have with June, but like, he's so young that he can work on it. And I'm just so super happy that he was able to perform here and do pretty solidly.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see, as we've talked about, men at Japanese Nationals, because it's going to be a time.
It's good. Yeah, it'll be really interesting to see how it does. And I'm never not, like, Sota is still, in my opinion, one of the most inspiring, like, skaters in the men's fields in terms of just, like, his pure grit and commitment to, like, chasing his goals and dreams and getting better. Seeing him slowly get back, like, his triple axel and then his quads, it's just been, like, incredible to watch. And on to the Grand Prix final. Our qualifiers are Yuzuru Hanyu from Japan with 30 points, Nathan Chen from the US with 30 points, Alexander Samarin from Russia with 28 points, Dmitry Aliyev, also from Russia, with 24 points, Kevin Amos from France with 24 points, and Boyang Jin from China with 20 points.
Sneaking his way in.
Oh, Boyang, he made it.
I want to just, like, his hilarious post on social media where he was just like, oh, should I, like, film a vlog this week or something? And he's like, all right, no, I'm not doing it once he finds out he's going to Grand Prix Final. And then someone from, like, the official Cup of China account was just like, go get your visa.
Oh, yeah, his visa woes are unmatched, so hopefully this goes better.
And he's got about 2 weeks, so hopefully.
Hopefully this is not another visa tragedy. But in terms of matchups, it's basically Yuzu versus Nathan for first and second. Like, there's no unless, like, Nathan or Yuzu gets horribly ill in the next 2 weeks, it's them.
Considering the margins that they've both won their Grand Prix,
they've both been beating, like, their fields by between 40 to 60 points. Like, it's ridiculous. Yuzu is still the only man to have broken 300 points, so that is definitely hefty, but also both Yuzu and Nathan can change their jump layouts to be even considerably harder if they want to, depending on probably what the other one does. Like, I'm pretty much convinced Yuzu is going to show up to Torino, like, do his weird taste the ice rituals and then decide what his jump layouts.
I actually disagree. I think Yuzu's gonna, like, stick to the program that we've seen him do these past two comps, and we'll actually try a new layout at Nationals.
But at this, I feel like Nathan definitely is a lot more finicky about what he brings to each competition. Like, Yuzu has basically brought the same layout to his competitions, and Nathan, I feel like, changes it up a little bit.
Very much changes his layout on the fly. So it's gonna be really interesting to see. I'm really glad that they both see, we haven't seen Nathan in quite some time yet, but hopefully, I mean, he's doing well. So I'll be really happy to see how they face off against each other.
It's been a while since they've competed against each other with both being healthy. So.
And then we have just this complete, like,
what? For bronze?
What's gonna happen with the bronze?
It's so, like, I love that this is so exciting, but also, what is going to happen?
Any of these men can make bronze. Any of these men can make the case to be bronze at this competition, and it's both amazing, but also, like, what is going on with the men?
Nathan is the only returning from last year's Grand Prix final, and Yuzu, yes, technically did qualify, but then withdrew, but the field is completely different from last year's. So it's a wild ride for that third spot.
It's going to be interesting. And none of these men have a particular reputation for being, like, incredibly consistent, especially this time of the year. Like, Boyan gets more and more consistent, so he might be able to pull together.
Yes, I'm very happy that Boyang is a peak later in the season kind of guy.
And Samarin has some of the highest tech ceiling in terms of, and he also gets very generous PCS and GOE, but I'm interested to see how that's going to look outside of Russia. Russia still goes very hard in the politicking, but it might be more reasonable.
I'm very interested to see Samarin versus Dima lineup here.
Judging from Restelicon, it's looking like Rusfed is backing Samarin, and we know that Rusfed is looking for a top guy, so.
I will be very interested to see, like, how an uninjured Dima and his, like, third competition out will, like, do, because he has been improving steadily throughout his competitions this season.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. And, like, even, like, Kevin, if Kevin skates really well and everyone else, like, dies on their quads, like, Kevin is not the most consistent skater with his jumps, but even he could have a pretty good showing. I'm not really necessarily hoping for him to medal, but men have been so just unpredictable this year, apart from, like, the top one or two men, that I'm not, like, making any sound predictions in any way. I'm just really happy we have such an exciting field with a lot of people who, like, haven't been to the final or haven't been to the final for a while. So for the Iceland's podiums at Rostelecom, we have taking gold, Victoria Sinitsyna and Nikita Katsalapov of Russia. In silver, Piper Gillis and Paul Poirier of Canada. And in bronze, Sara Hurtado and Kirill Kaliavin of Spain. At NHK Trophy, we have Gabriel Papadakis and Guillaume Cizeron from France in gold, Alexandra Stepanova and Yvonne Buchan from Russia in silver, and Charlene Guinard and Marco Fabri from Italy taking the bronze.
So, where shall we start?
I mean, Iceland's remains the most predictable in some ways, but also this has still been perhaps not necessarily for medalists, but overall a little more unpredictable or a little more interesting in terms of some of the progressions we've seen with certain teams and how other teams have struggled.
I think it's that, well, the field looked so different last year because there were so many teams missing, and so a lot of teams were able to kind of capitalize and, you know, push up through the gaps a little bit. And now that top teams are back, it's much harder, understandably, for there to be shifting of ranking, I guess, in ice dance, just because there's so much embedded politicking in with the scores. And it's just, in general, ice dancers don't mess up nearly as much.
Yeah, so speaking of our world record holders who've got new world records at NHK, Papadakis and Cizeron, it's interesting because they got such astronomic scores, but their programs definitely have room to grow.
Papadakis and Cizeron, of the top teams currently, or at the teams that are at the Grand Prix Final, have the best programs, even if some of their programs aren't, like, necessarily for me, or it's not, like, my favorite of them. Like, I absolutely love their rhythm dance, but I feel like some of the top teams this season have really been slacking on their program. So, comparatively, I'm like, I'll take it.
No, I will totally, like, honestly, they're still such incredible skaters, and their programs are really good, like, and people harp on them a lot, but, like, the rhythm dance is, like, what I wanted from this theme. Like, it's so campy, it's so fun. Yeah, they need to work on the timing a bit.
This program is what I feel like they're more like in real life, you know?
They have really fantastic personalities, and I love that they finally, like, took the dare to, like, do a rhythm dance that, like, really shows it. And so many teams this year for the rhythm dance just, they kind of phoned it in, or they did, like, some really kind of antiquated, like, you know, vintage sort of bland thing. And Papadakis and Cizeron just delivered.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I love this rhythm dance, like, a lot. Like, I was super excited when I first heard that they were doing Fame. But, like, that being said.
Yeah, that being said, there were some interesting things that went on here.
That does not mean we are going to overlook some of the scoring in the rhythm dance. This was the first rhythm dance over 90 points, but wow, there are some things that we got to talk about. The twizzles first are probably the most egregious. Guillaume literally missed a rotation in the first set, and still the lowest GOE on their entire protocol was the 3 that a couple judges gave them on the twizzles.
I think what was even more egregious for me is that when they did their fin step, they got only 2 of the key points, but then afterwards it went up to them getting all 4 key points after it was reevaluated by the tech panel. And I was just like, no, you guys missed timing and a bunch of other things. You guys should have gotten a level 2 there.
And their stationary lift also went from level 3 during the program to level 4 by the time I checked the protocols, and with all 4s and 5 GOE by the end. So it's like,
It's just frustrating because they're so good that they, like, yeah, they need to work on, like, the pattern and they need to work on some of their elements, but, like, they don't need that kind of bump to win by a margin.
Again, it's just frustrating sometimes because it's, like, we do care about, like, their scoring and how crazy inflated their scores are, but, like, it's just sad that, like, a lot of the discussion of how great this program and how it kind of brings out their fun side kind of gets lost because everyone's so mad about the scores all the time.
I appreciate Papadakis and Cicero. Like, I'm sure most people know I'm not, like, their biggest fan, but I agree that they're the top skaters in their field, and they don't need the judges to do this. They'd still win these competitions.
Yeah, it just makes people frustrated and bitter, which is really unfortunate because, like, God, they have such good programs this year. And I mean, okay, so if we want to talk about the free dance, which is definitely a much more polarizing program, I will defend this program to the death because I am the sort of person who spends all my spare income on, like, going to, like, really, like, eccentric, bizarre, like, minimalistic, modern dance things. And, okay, the fact that they, one, took the challenge of skating to spoken word poetry that is really hard to work with, and they worked really hard on doing interesting lifts. Like, this program is just so raw and minimalistic and beautiful and different.
There are things that I appreciate about them, even if the program itself is not really to my taste.
I guess I get frustrated with, because as someone who likes, like, modern dance a lot, to me this is an extremely different program than the ones they've done in prior years. Like, in terms of what they're challenging and in terms of how hard this sort of cut is to skate to. And from everyone I've talked to, like, it has a much stronger impact live too. Which, so I'm really excited to see what it's like at Worlds, if it already gives me chills. I don't know, I think they get, like, a lot of people are like, oh my god, it's voiceover, and people are so, like, anti-voiceovers from last year, but okay, there's, like, an abrupt, jarring voiceover the way Hubble and Donahue, like, chuck one in their program, and then this is not, I would not classify this as a voiceover, it's literally the core thread of their entire program. Like, it's not a jarring interruption. It's literally what their program is entirely built on. So I don't get that disconnect from being like, oh my god, someone's talking, because it's such a salient thread running throughout the entire program that it draws you into their world. Moving on to other people got to the final, we have Piper and Paul, who finally qualified!
Oh, it's been a hot minute for them, too.
Oh my god.
I'm so happy that they made it, but please work on your finstep levels.
Yes, and they've done the finstep before, like, they're an older team. Like, some of these teams, like Fear and Gibson, have not been competing long enough to have had to do the finstep before. Like, I feel like every single year we do this, where right before the final, we just stare sadly at protocols and are like, drill your pattern, drill your pattern, drill your pattern.
And this is not like the Tango Romantica, which is, like, notoriously one of the most difficult with two sections.
But you know what? They made it through both the Grand Prix without any, like, heartbreaking, because they tend to be a little shaky sometimes on the Grand Prix. It was just really great to see them. And their scores have been, they've been competing really solidly. They've been really strong technically.
Great for them to get in after just barely missing out last season, and this season is also much more competitive, so kudos.
Yeah, congratulations. So another team that we are very fond of, Gwynad and Fabri.
Fond of, but a little sad about.
A little, yeah, this was kind of a hard competition to watch because there were kind of two issues. One was that they last minute changed their rhythm dance to Greece.
Their previous rhythm dance was great. I don't understand why they changed it, especially, like, if you had to change it, fine. Why would you do it at your Grand Prix event? Why not wait until that?
Yeah, change it between, like, Grand Prix final to Europeans or something. Like, then you have a lot of time.
Like, this timing was so weird to me. Like, IDF was just 2 weeks ago. You did not have time to, like, make a new program and have it, like, perfected for your second Grand Prix event in a span of 2 weeks.
Yeah, it just looks, like, very, very rough right now. Which is understandable if they basically only had 2 weeks to drill it.
The problem with Ice Dance is, like, okay, if singles, yeah, you can sometimes just kind of copy a layout, and yeah, it's hard to change a program, but, like, Ice Dance, you have to be perfect.
And also, especially considering they're very much a technical team, I mean, they're amazing, but, like, the reason why they've done so well is because they're such great skaters, and rhythm dance is very much how good are you as a skater. And so the rhythm dance is what is their strength, and, you know, kind of messing with that definitely wasn't, like, a smart move for them, at least from my perspective.
No, not at all.
And also, like, the fact that they did Greece, like, Smart Diaz have such an incredible Greece program, and it's just going to invite, like, really harsh comparisons just on the whole performance side, because you might be the best technician, but... still. Also, they struggled a bit. Like, they had a deduction because of a technical fall in their free, which was really unusual for them. I mean, he's recovering from injuries, so I'm still just, like, shocked that they're doing so well, but...
This was definitely the lowest free dance score they've gotten in a while. They usually score up in the 120s.
Yeah, and they look shocked by it.
They were behind Fear and Gibson at the free dance.
Which is insane, normally, given their technical level, like, the technical gap between these two teams.
They unfortunately won't be making it to Grand Prix final, but hopefully they will take this time between now and Nats and Euros to figure out what exactly they're doing with their programs, and hopefully Marco's hand will heal so they'll be, like, actually at full strength once Europeans happen.
All right, Kat, it's time to talk about the loves of our life.
Time to talk about Stepanov and Bukin.
Yeah, it was actually, NHK was really fun because there were a lot of teams from Skate America, and we all got to see these teams, like, you know, 5 weeks ago in person. So seeing their improvement was really fun.
Especially because these guys had the most time to fix up any issues from, like, from Skate America until now, because they got the first and the last Grand Prix. They definitely looked a lot sharper here than at Skate America, and I'm just like, these guys and their almost costume violations in the rhythm dance, kudos to Sasha's composure under pressure. Like, she saved her hairpin, she saved the tassel that almost fell out.
The fact that she got the levels while dealing with that in, like, obviously, like, distress and still, like, sold it.
After the rhythm dance, though, she looked, like, so mad.
She was like, why me? Why again?
But yeah, they looked in great shape, which was lovely.
They had tough competition at both of their Grand Prix. Like, it was going to be a hard ask for them to beat Hubble and Donahue at home, and it was obviously going to be a hard ask for them to be Papadakis and Cicerone, so I'm pretty sure that they were expecting to just perform solidly and, you know, qualify for Grand Prix final, and hopefully at Grand Prix final we will be able to see the rhythm dance without any mishaps or anything. This kind of reminds me how, like, we had to wait, like, last year, they had, like, the bird issue or the confetti issue at Finlandia, and we had to wait all the way till Helsinki to see the rhythm dance performed to, like, its max potential. But yeah. It'll be fun.
They're worth the wait, so looking forward to it. Okay, and we also have our loves Wang Lu.
Yes!
Who have done so well this Grand Prix series.
They've done so well this season, and they have two amazing programs.
They have three. Shame on NHK for not inviting them to the gala.
You are right.
Yeah. And, like, honestly, like, when I first heard they were doing Chaplin and Black Swan.
Yeah, like, those are, like, the most tired programs. I see them in singles too much. I'm not excited. But, oh my god, those are so good.
Yeah, and I think that it's a testament to the fact that, especially for Chaplin, there's a lot of commitment that needs to be had to be able to pull off Chaplin, I think. And they really commit the entire time with the facial expressions. Like, they don't lose steam. And, like, I think losing steam is what would make this program suffer. But they really commit to it the entire time.
I mean, they even commit to the Black Swan. Like, Xunyu's his eyeshadow, man. Everyone should take note and follow, like, okay, this is the sort of makeup you should be doing, not, I mean, I appreciate also Adrian's commitment to the clown makeup, yeah, but, like, oh my god.
We appreciate men in eyeliner, and eyeshadow.
Yes. Moving on. So one interesting part of NHK especially was that we had, you know, we got to see McNamara and Carpenter for the first time after they had to withdraw from IDF because of injury. It was good to see them and to see their programs, but, you know, you could clearly tell that they had had issues with injury and, you know, that they were just trying to get out there and get some traction with their programs. But it was rough to see because they had not the best showing, especially given what they're capable of.
They finished last here, which is like, they're usually much more polished and usually so much cleaner. But, you know, I can't even blame them because the lack of training time is, especially since it's already so late into the season and everyone's been kind of drilling and improving since their last competitions. Like, I can't even, like, really blame them for looking so rough here.
I'm sure they just didn't want to pull, like, a Chalk Bates and have to do, like, the first time they showed their programs, like, right before Nationals. But, yeah, it was not their best outing. We also had Carrera and Ponomarenko, who, unfortunately, unlike a lot of the teams we saw from Skate America, had a rougher outing than at Skate America.
Yeah.
Anthony missed the leg grab on the rotational lift, and it was just, like, kind of a disaster.
I really love their free dance, so I'm really interested to see, like, how this is going to play out for U.S. Nationals with the second tier, mid-tier teams, because obviously we have McNair, Carpenter, who are still recovering from this injury. I don't know if they will be fully recovered for Nationals. CPOM, they're usually pretty polished, so this seemed like more of an unusual mistake for them.
We'll see. Hopefully, I mean, Nationals is going to be interesting because, you know, Hawaii and Baker have also struggled, and then, you know, Green and Parson are a new team too, so it's going to be interesting to see kind of the battle for bronze, but we'll see. And the potato medal, since we get potato medals at Nationals. Looking forward to our qualifiers at the Grand Prix Final.
We have Gabriela Papadakis and Guillaume Cesaro of France with 30 points, Victoria Sinitsina and Nikita Katsalapov of Russia with 30 points, Piper Gillis and Paul Poirier of Canada with 28 points, Madison Hubbell and Zachary Donahue of the US with 28 points, Alexandra Stepanova and Yvonne Bukin of Russia with 26 points, and Madison Chalk and Evan Bates of the US with 26 points.
Anyways, I think that, you know, gold is pretty much a lock here, right?
Papadakis and Cizeron would literally have to trip all over both their programs to not get gold. And then next we have Sinitsin Katsalapov, who are probably going to be silver. Their programs are definitely weaker this year and they've looked a little more vulnerable, but still I think they have the benefit of clout and backing.
They have rust-fed backing as of late,
which is a very powerful element.
Yes, especially because Julin is their coach. But we have seen them falter in the past, like, especially, like, Nikita's Twizzles, like, that second set, when they have the arms outstretched, you know what I'm talking about? And, like, I always think he's going to topple over, because you can see his arms wobbling up and down, whereas if you, like, look at Vika, she looks totally stable. Her arms do not shift in position or wobble up and down at all.
I've actually been really impressed by how Vika has improved.
It's a shame that their programs in general are a little bit weaker this season, but, like, I still think technique-wise, they're probably second to Papadakis and Cizeron overall. Like, their rhythm dance score is so far the second best that we've seen, but I think that free dance will be a little bit more up in the air.
I think some of the most interesting showdowns are going to be kind of between the two top Russian pairs and the two American pairs.
It's going to be Papadakis, Cizeron, and then a Russian and an American team.
Much as I would love, like, Piper and Paul, oh, it would make me so happy, but, like,
listen, like, if there is a probability, if there could potentially happen.
Yeah, no, this is, honestly, I'm kind of excited this year because, for instance, one, Hubbell and Donahue were at Skate Canada, like, they've had the most time to rework their programs out of anyone. Because most of these teams, well, Chuck and Bates had a little bit more, but most of these teams have, like, either just competed at NHK or Rustelecom. But Hubble and Donnie have had a while. Also, Zach was very ill during Skate Canada.
Well, for both of them, he was pretty rough.
Yeah, for both of them. So it was kind of understandable that the performance might have suffered a bit, and hopefully they've reworked their programs as best they can. It's just going to be interesting to see. Chuck Bates' scoring has been kind of surprising this season. I think the U.S. Federation has probably decided to back them a little more than they were when they weren't quite as sure whether or not they were injured last season or not, but...
You know, in my dreams, Stepanova Babukin make the podium on third, but, like, I don't know if we'll see two Russian teams on the podium.
Honestly, like, I can't make any, like, real predictions of who's gonna get silver or bronze here, so anything can happen.
No, you can't. It's so interesting because the free dance scores, for the most part, like, barring Papadakis' own, have all been roughly around the 124 to 126-ish range. And none of them had perfect levels. None of them. So it's going to be interesting.
Basically, this is just me, as usual, like, you know, collapsing on the ground and begging everyone to please drill, like, especially the rhythm dance and their patterns and work on their levels, because as much as levels still don't make quite the decisive factor as I would wish.
One of these days, we will have that discussion again on whether or not lower-leveled elements should be able to get plus fives and plus fours, but we'll save that for another time. So for the ladies' podium at Rostelecom, we had Alexandra Trusova in gold, Evgenia Medvedeva in silver, and Mariah Bell with the bronze. And at NHK, we had Aliona Kostornaya in gold, Rika Kihira in silver, and Alina Zagitova in the bronze. So I think that there were a lot of really redemptive skates by way of the second Grand Prix was much better than the first.
Yeah, in quite a lot of ways. Yeah. So we had Evgenia, who just completely came out and absolutely threw down at Rostelecom. Like, she hasn't skated two programs that well back to back in a very, very long time. Arguably, maybe since the Olympics.
I think it has been since the Olympics.
She really was like, listen, I am here. And she made some smart choices regarding her layout, too. Like, that helps so much.
Getting rid of the Lutz in the short program for the loop was the best decision she has ever made.
Her edge jumps are so much better than any of her toe jumps. So, like, I'm so glad that that loop is in instead of the Lutz now.
It's just so important that she was able to get this done at Rostelecom, because especially after what had happened at Skate Canada, she needed this to prove to herself and her own, like, confidence that she can still remain, like, competitive in this field.
Yeah, and that she made the right choice as well. Like, I think that, like, given how kind of uneven her performances have been since she started training overseas, I think that there's definitely a little bit of doubt, or, like, you know, self-doubt that naturally would seep in, like, is this the right choice? And I think that she really needed, like, a performance like this to validate, like, yes, I've made the right choice, I'm going to continue with this. Because what broke my heart most when I saw her at Skate Canada was, like, it almost looked like she was defeated. Like, I don't know why I did this. And it was just really, really great to see that, you know, she was able to kind of wash those doubts away.
Yeah, she did such a strong turnaround, and it was fantastic. Also, continuing in the vein of people who had really much, much better second Grand Prix and even just, like, better competitions, Mako Yamashita. We were just so happy because we all saw her at Skate America.
It was rough.
It was hard because we had seen her last season at Skate Canada too, like, live, and she was incredible there. And just seeing her struggle so much was really, really hard at Skate America. So coming back and watching her just really throw down and skate really, really cleanly and really, really solidly, like, that's got to be amazing for her confidence, because she hasn't had that good of a skate in over a year.
I think that she definitely needed that for her own confidence too, especially because now Nats is less than a month away now. So, like, being able to put it together like now, so close to nationals, is really good for her.
I'll also shout out to Yohana Yokoi. Firstly, she was at Rostelecom and NHK, so shout out to her doing this back to back. But also, she didn't have that great of a short program at NHK, and she turned it around in that free and skated her life out, and I'm just so proud of her.
I have been ridiculously fond of her ever since she's been a junior for a couple of years. So, like, literally the moment I found out her hobby was gardening, like, there was no going back. Yeah, there's no going back.
She spoke to you.
Your daughter.
But yeah, no, it was really good to see her skate so solidly, especially, like, normally, like, if you have kind of grueling back-to-back Grand Prix, you often perform a little worse at the second one as opposed to better. So seeing that improvement and at home with the pressure, like, I'm just so happy for her, and hopefully, like, this is, you know, a good mark of an upward trend. Another salient narrative that emerged from these Grand Prix was a strong running thread of consistency. Aliona, Rika, and Alexandra Trusova all really held up well to a lot of pressure and medaled very highly, either winning or getting silver at the Grand Prix.
Aliona, are we going to talk about how amazing she is? Especially at NHK. Oh my god, that triple axel.
Her world record short program. Well, I did kill over at the schools in general, but just like, oh, she was so stellar.
That triple axel with those transitions and with the distance that she gets on them. Oh my god. And like, especially, it is just so wild to me how many triple axels we're seeing this season.
Really good triple axels.
Like, not just like a, we land this and get it done, but like, even like between Aliona and Rika both at the same competition landing such beautiful triple axels, I was like, oh man.
I still think Young probably has my favorite triple axel that we've seen this season, but
Young, when she lands it, is gorgeous. And also Liza's is looking so much more solid too, so they're all just like absolutely slaying it.
Well, I think that it's a matter of like, for me, those three, Aliona, Rika, and Young, all have different things about their triple axel that I like. So it's like, I can't even pick a favorite, because Aliona has the best transitions and the best distance. Rika rotates so fast, and she gets the rotation so clearly in the air, and her landings look so confident. Young has a little bit longer of a setup, but her landing has so much flow and speed out of it. It's just like, the amount of quality that we're seeing in the triple axels is just like, like, it feels like an abundance of riches, really.
I know. And also, like, Liza's looks so much easier this season in general.
And it just looks like she just hops into the air and gets into the rotation so quickly.
It's especially given sometimes kind of the dicey quality of some of the ladies' quads. It's heartening that the triple axels in general, like, when people actually do them, tend to be like, oh, chef's kiss. Like, they're just gorgeous. Yeah, I think, like, the showdown was definitely between Aliona and Rika, and, like, to me, Aliona completely did win the short, like, no question. The free, I'm a little dubious about. Rika skated cleaner than Aliona, and the fact that her technical element score was so much lower.
It was a little bit dubious.
Like, I'm kind of okay with them getting about equal on the PCS. Yeah, like, they basically were equivalent there, which I'm fine with. I have more issues with Alina's scoring in that regard. But yeah, it was just kind of frustrating to see.
Like, she would have won either way, I think. And especially because Aliona also does have other tech issues as well that got overlooked.
Yeah.
Is the main issue, because she has a very, very clear flux. So that's one of the more egregious problems I see. Well, it's especially glaring because I think that Rika is one of the few skaters that has such solid technique on every single jump.
Yeah, it's a little frustrating. So, but at least they both qualified in the end. But basically, I'm a little frustrated on how much lower in some regards, like, Rika's GOE and stuff was in comparison to Aliona, given how well Rika also skated.
I'm really, really glad that she made the smart move to not go for the quad sal. I don't think it would have been worth it. Like, she was going to make the Grand Prix as long as she was top four, and she just did her normal layout, and like, it's so close to the Grand Prix final that I would not want to risk that injury.
I think she'll probably risk it at Grand Prix final though.
Yeah. In general, the scoring was I think that the podium is exactly correct, but the scoring felt a little wonky. Especially when you look at like Alina's scores as well. Alina also scored over 150.
I think that's what upset me more, not with Aliona, but with Alina and like Rika's free skate scores being so close.
It's so funny though, because like those the three podium girls all got 150 in their free skate, and then the next one was like the 130.
And the thing with Alina is like, I mean, she was very much quite business in just trying to get the jumps done for most of the free skate. But given, like, the shorts she had and how far back she was, like, I don't blame her. Like, she kind of just had to get her jumps done and make sure she skated cleanly. And, like, I appreciate the... People always write off Alina, and I appreciate the hell out of her grit and staying power, because she managed to get through, like, a horrible season last year in terms of her injury. And she's looking more solid, she's looking healthier, the field has gotten so much more deep with, you know, Trusova and Kostanaya and Shcherbakova all going seniors, so her results haven't been quite as good this season as last season. Like, she's getting more, you know, bronzes and silvers versus just winning things, but she's looking really good. I do think that the fact that she won PCS...
She won PCS in both the short and the free.
More glaring in the short, considering the mistake she made.
At least with the free, she was clearly not as into the performance till she got the jumps done. But, you know, she skated very well. But for the short, that doesn't make sense to me. Like, if I look at it, I'm just like, okay. I was really happy, though, to see her come back and skate such a good free after that short program and just completely let down. Moving on, we have to talk about Satoko a bit.
Go back. You can be sad for us all.
Because she is like, oh. Okay, so I know I turn into like a classical like Greek widow, like beating my breast, rending my clothes, and screaming the moment her PCS come up. But like, I looked at her protocols for Rostelecom, and Satoko is not 3.5 points above Sasha and almost 4 points below Jenya as a skater in components. Like,
if, you know, Alina and Jenya are like 9 to 9.5 types of skaters, Satoko's should be like 12.
Satoko's a 12.
So yeah, it's just frustrating like that. I don't think there's any other skater that I just go blank with rage the moment I see their PCS. But anyway, she had to do back-to-back GPs for the first time, so that was a struggle, and like changing her, like, I'm glad she's made the change to Lee. I think in the long run it'll probably pay out. I'm a little side-eyeing their choice to drastically rework her jump tech that much in the middle of the Grand Prix series, because it's costing her a lot, and it probably would have either been better to move to him earlier and work on it, or get through the season and then work on it.
Well, I feel like they probably were like, we need to get her ready for Nats at this point, and wanted to like at least try it out, because I feel like they were probably didn't have as much hope that she would make Grand Prix final given the fields. Unfortunately.
I don't know, man. So yeah, it was really sad seeing her struggle so much. Like, there were just unfortunate, like, she skated beautifully in a lot of aspects, but there were just too many technical issues that held her back given the strength of the field and how well everyone skated.
Okay, so let's take a quick look to the Grand Prix final. So qualified, we have Aliona Kostornaya of Russia with 30 points. Alexandra Trusova, also of Russia, 30 points. And Anna Shcherbakova, also of Russia, with 30 points. Rika Kihara of Japan with 26 points. Alina Zagitova of Russia with 24 points. And Brady Tennell of the US with 22 points. So, who's surprised at our top three qualifiers for ladies at Grand Prix Final?
I mean, no one. Although, to be honest, I am very glad that Anna Shcherbakova, like, did so well this season. Really, our surprise person is dear Brady Tennell, who managed to squeak in.
Who was very much a, like, let's see how everyone else does before we can see if she qualified. Like, I think she definitely got kind of lucky in this regard, but, you know, kudos for her, honestly.
Yeah, she's the first U.S. lady since 2015 to make the Grand Prix final.
Especially because she had back-to-back Grand Prix, too, in the beginning of the season.
Yeah, which is super impressive. Also, she got, like, she had an incorrect call. I forget exactly what it was, but one of her jumps, I think, got called as a double instead of a triple on her in Skate America. That didn't, like, she didn't manage to contest it in time. So the fact that she still won the tiebreaker and made it into the final, because like we were really all sad if that was going to be the reason she didn't make it into the final, was because of some weird, like, you know, the tech panel like messing up. So thank God like that didn't actually end up screwing her over. But yeah, looking forward to the actual matchups, it's going to be a really intense final. Like, this is going to be probably the event of the final.
We don't know what's going to happen. Literally anyone. Like, there's a lot more variance in who's going to win that title, I think.
Aliona is leading the qualifiers over Sasha, which was my biggest surprise. But like, also the quality of her components is really what's getting her there. So I'm really hoping that Aliona pulls out the win here.
And then like, you have all the games. Like, I mean, Sasha, they posted that she's training the triple axel and stuff. And if Sasha can like somehow stuff a triple axel or two into her like free skate and, you know, stuff a triple axel into a short program, like, I'm not optimistic that it's going to properly happen. And Sasha, out of almost anyone, tends to be one of the most up and down in terms of, she tends to flub her jumps a little more. Luckily she has so many potentially high scoring jumps that it doesn't usually tend to impede her too much, but that was when she wasn't necessarily facing off against this entire field, so it'll be interesting. And I mean, one thing that I think actually probably concerns me the most about this final is, given the heavy Russian presence and stuff, and versus probably Rika, who is the strongest contender for say a silver or gold at the final, the Russian Fed was kind of unnervingly blatant in their politicking this Grand Prix season. Yeah, for both things. And it really came down to just really inconsistent narratives with Letzages, but they blatantly complained about Anna Shepikova's Quadlet's edge calls in Cup of China, really openly, and then also post NHK that they claim that the reason Rika didn't include a triplets into her program was not because of injury, because she's been pretty much injured and struggling to manage that all this Grand Prix series, but because her edge was wrong.
Of everyone in this field, Rika's the only one with a clean Lutz.
There are many Japanese skaters that have issues with Lutzes.
Right, but Rika is not one of them.
I don't know if this is just like a power move, because Rika's right now the only clear threat to any of the Russian ladies, especially since she's the only Japanese lady that made Grand Prix final. But the sheer irony of it just kind of boggles my mind a little bit.
It's just disconcerting given the trends in ladies judging in general. And I hope at the final we can have kind of a little bit more of a clear-cut competition.
You have more hope than I do, Bex.
Well, these are all like incredible skate. Like, we have such a good lineup at the final, and especially the people in contention like Aliona and Sasha and Anna and Rico and even Alina, who are in contention for gold and silver. Like, they are capable. Like, the things they are capable of technically and artistically are really impressive. So the fact that there's such blatant politicking going on in advance to shape the narrative and to pressure the Coles is... We were lucky, I think, to have relatively strict panels at both IDF and Cup of China. So I hope that returns for Grand Prix Final, though I'm not terribly optimistic. But it was really refreshing to see fairly strict ladies calling.
I'm interested to see if these comments will actually incentivize Rika to up her layout.
Yeah, it'll be really interesting to see if she decides, after all, to include the quads. I would not be at all surprised, because she seemed pretty, like, she ended up ditching at the last Mona NHK, but she was drilling it in practice.
And I also trust that Rika would not be putting in a jump in her layout that she's not, like, 90% confident that she could land it.
Yeah, it might have just been a strategic move at NHK to take it out for the reasons I stated before, but, if she did put it in at Grand Prix Final, then I would not question her judgment there.
Right. And I think probably the last key point that's going to be really interesting is just to see, given that, sadly, yet we still only have 3 spots for Russian ladies at Worlds, seeing how all the four Russian ladies stack up against each other going into Russian nationals, which will still have even fiercer competition with the people who couldn't make the final. It's going to be really interesting. It's basically like the pregame for Russian nets.
Oh boy. It's just interesting because, yeah, Rika and Alina are the only returning competitors to this Grand Prix final.
Well, that's because the other three of them were at the Junior Grand Prix final last year.
And they were all top qualifiers to their first Senior Grand Prix final.
Alina was literally the mom taking cute photos of these people, like, at their victory ceremony, the last Grand Prix final. And now she's going to be, like, fighting, like, neck and neck with them. It's kind of wild.
The shout of the week goes to Ryoga Morimoto, who is my new son. I love him.
Our Mozart dubstep remix king. Like,
his performance quality of that, like, outsold, like, probably, like, 95% of the men's field, of the senior men's field, in my opinion. Like, it was incredible.
I love and appreciate our future 2030 Olympic gold medalist, Ryoga Morimoto.
I know we're like doing a recap of competitions and trying to encourage you to watch that, but if you watch any program that, you know, if you need like your dose of serotonin for like the month, go watch that on loop like 3 times. You will not regret it.
Literally opening up the whole gala with that too. And like, JSF made such a smart move.
Also, just like shout out to JSF in general for always like including like their novice champions and like junior champions to these galas, because it's such a great opportunity for these younger skaters to actually like perform to like such a large audience, because this is like the one time where people are probably paying attention.
Like the first time I saw like Rika and Shunsa was at a gala for World Team Trophy back in 2017 because they invited them, which I was like, this is brilliant, because it's so tangible what a fantastic experience that is for them. And like the fact that they invited Itana and Shingo like and got them some exposure for Japanese ice dance, like, yes, please keep it up, invite them to everything. This is the way it should be.
Yes.
Thank you for listening. We hope to see you again for our next episode. Thanks so much to our transcribing and quality control team for keeping us in check, and Evie for being our fabulous editor, and Gab for being our brilliant graphic designer.
If you want to get in touch with us, then please feel free to contact us via our website, indolopodcast.com, or on Twitter. You can find our episodes on YouTube, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and Spotify.
Yes, please consider giving us feedback. We absolutely adore and appreciate it and take it all into consideration. So thank you.
If you enjoyed the show and want to help support the team, then please consider making a donation to us on our Ko-fi page. And we'd love to give a huge thank you to all the listeners who have contributed to our team thus far.
You can find the links to all our social media pages and our Ko-fi on the website. If you're listening on iTunes, please consider leaving a rating and review if you enjoyed the show. It really, really helps us. Thank you for listening. This has been Bex,
Yogita,
and Kat.
Bye.
Bye.